You're listening to The John Vogel Show, presented by Anchor.
Good morning, good evening, wherever, whenever you may be listening. I'm John Vogel, and welcome into The John Vogel Show, presented by Anchor, the best place for you to start a podcast, if that's something that you want to do. We've been through this spiel a few times before. Just go to anchor.fm to get all the info regarding this that you could possibly imagine or ever comprehend getting. So, happy Friday, everybody. Yeah, sorry, it's been a little bit nutty on my end today. Had a 3-mile run this morning, as I did Wednesday morning and Tuesday morning, and I got another one tomorrow. So, it is going to be fun. My life the next few months. Getting ready for deployment, so gotta get into deployment type shape, and part of that is running. So, let's get into some sports. We do have something to start off the show with today. I had teased that a guest that fell through will not be happening, so we will continue on our own. So we're going to start with this Florida State story that broke yesterday morning. I wrote a live piece on it. Nothing else really ever came of it from what I could find. And so I will be closing that live piece today and letting that go. But let's get into this a little bit because this is kind of important and this plays into this whole issue that we're seeing starting to plague college football, and I'm sure we'll see this across college sports overall. So, basically, one of their senior wide receivers Wednesday night tweeted that he had tested positive for coronavirus, DJ Matthews. He's a senior, he's expected to kind of be used on special teams, not much else outside of that. Kind of a small guy. I don't know if he's really got a real shot at the NFL. 5'8", 165 is what he was listed on at ESPN. And so he had tweeted that he had tested positive for coronavirus and then deleted the tweet rather quickly. Now, I think this is interesting to note that this is the first name that we've attached to a current college football player that caught COVID. We've heard that people tested positive, but whoever it was that tested positive always remained anonymous. The schools wouldn't say who they were. This was, you know, to protect families and the identities of those people. I guess, you know, you don't go around saying what everybody has. I mean, even though that's part of football, you just tell everybody what their injuries are and why they're missing the game for the most part. But regardless, this is the first one that we had seen announce that he had tested positive for COVID. The next morning, a backup sophomore receiver, Warren Thompson, announced in a letter Thursday morning that the leadership on the team and the coaching staff were not following the safety protocols and he felt unsafe. Obviously, a bunch of Florida State players stood up and said, not true. The coaching staff, this isn't the first deal we've had with Florida State in this offseason. You know, not in the slightest. The coaching staff obviously stepped up and said, don't know what he's talking about. And there's a lot of you out there, I know for a fact, that would dismiss anything that the coach says. And that's fine. That's your opinion. You're entitled to that. I'll give you that. But I am going to look at this. My reaction when I saw it, the letter, was I need to do more research, and I definitely want to wait for all the facts to come out before I make any real reaction to this. And the facts that have come out so far is that Warren Thompson is a backup wide receiver. And he was probably promised by a previous coaching staff that he was going to play early, and he hasn't. And now he's got a new coaching staff, and they're kind of like, look, we're trying to figure out this team right now. No, you're not going to get the starting job because Florida State has several receivers. They've got a couple of NFL guys, Tomori and Terry, for example. Now, if you go back into earlier in the year, Florida State and Mike Norvell came under fire because in an interview with The Athletic, he said that he had reached out to all his players regarding the death of George Floyd individually and had spoken with them about what he could do to help. And his star defensive tackle Marvin Wilson came out on Twitter and said that's a lie. And explained that he had sent a group text, phone message to everyone, and said if you need to talk about it, come let me know. So the fact of the matter is Norvell did somewhat mislead with his statement, and he got called out by his players for it. And this was the first kind of deal with Florida State this offseason regarding anything, you know, remotely political. Because let's face it, everything right now is political. It is an election year. Everything is political. Everything. Now, in this instance, Marvin Wilson stood with the coaching staff. Asante Samuel Jr. came out, stood with the coaching staff. There were several players that reached out and they said, that's not true. We feel perfectly safe. And that was that. Now, obviously, there's going to be a bunch of people that just are going to believe Warren Thompson. They're like, oh, he's a backup player. He wants his voice heard. Yeah, he wants his voice heard. I totally agree with that. That's why he released this letter. Now, the fact of the matter, are the accusations true? Whereas Warren Thompson, the odd guy out here, trying to make a last-minute stand. See, this comes a day after the ACC announces we're on to play for now. There are so many forces at work that are trying to shut down college football. You saw all the Big Ten go. The Pac-12 was just waiting for somebody else to go. They were ready. They were never going to play. I think that much was obvious. And then, you know, I was talking about that back when all this started, when sports started getting canceled about a month in. I think it was April. At draft night, I told everybody, I said, go scout people in California. I want everybody who's on a school in California to get scouted. I want scouting reports on them so when the season gets canceled, we have our reports already done. I didn't envision the entire Pac-12. I had mentioned it. I said, well, California goes, then I'm sure the Pac-12 will follow. But I didn't envision just the Big Ten canceling and the Pac-12 following suit. This comes down to there are forces at work that are trying to shut down the college football season, especially now that President Donald Trump said we should play college football this year, just like he's been saying we need to go back to school. He can't make these decisions. It's not his decision to make, but he is trying to influence the country to make these moves. Kids need to go back to school. Great. Now I was homeschooled. I have opinions on the public education system. We're not going to get into that. And they're very strong opinions. But I do think kids need to go back to school. School is important. It's very important. We're bringing all these kids onto campus. Thousands and thousands of students are entering campuses, but the college football teams can't play. They can practice. No, they can sure as hell practice, but they can't play. All right, so now they're practicing, and now they're trying to shut down what is remaining of college football. This is a ploy designed to hit people in the hardest, where they don't like to get hit, pocketbook. Thousands upon thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people are going to be impacted with no college football this year. Schools start to shut down parts of their athletic department because of lack of funds. People lose their jobs. And this is in universities. This is in the press. People lose scholarships. You want to talk about a school being happy because now they got less money to pay out, more money to take in, more people that will have to enroll in classes if they're going to continue with them. See, that's why academics doesn't like athletics, because you got all these kids coming to school for free. On sports scholarships. Oh, that's so bad. Oh, we have to pay them all this. We have to pay for all this stuff. That's the sad part, is that universities, public universities, state schools, have all come down to money. Follow the money, people, and you'll always figure out what's going on. That's just how it goes in the world. Follow the money. Anyways, how does this tie into Florida State? They want the season shut down. They want kids to speak out like this. I'm not saying Corona Bros reached out to Warren Thompson and told him to do this, saying that the atmosphere has been created for people to make accusations like this and gain instant support. Because when the story broke, I went, and as I'm doing the research, all the people pushing the story, every single one of them, had some sort of alt-left term in their Twitter bios. And I pointed this out. Here are the people pushing this story. So now we don't quite have all the facts. But my reaction at this point from what has been put together is that Warren Thompson is a disgruntled player who was upset because he's not playing and he's not going to get the playing time that he wants. And he decided to take to Twitter, get some Twitter support, get some fans, and see what could happen. Because that's why these people go public. That's why these people get on Twitter and they make these accusations and they say things, is because they know they're going to get support. They know that there are hordes of people on Twitter, the mob, that will say, "Paul, this is terrible." Because according to the Twitter mob, you are guilty until proven innocent. If someone is accusing you of doing something, obviously you're guilty. Unless, of course, it's one of their people. And that's the facts. We're going to take a break with that. When we come back, there's more shit to get into. There's so much going on. We're going to probably hit on the tight end market in the NFL. Possibly a couple other things, declining NBA ratings and why that is. This all stemming from a conversation that was had yesterday, last night. This and more on the John Vogel Show. Welcome back into the John Vogel Show, presented by Anchor, the best place for you to start your podcast. Anchor.fm has all the information regarding how you can get started, how you can start making money, and distribute your podcast across all of the major podcast platforms, this and more. Go check it out. It's really good. You'll enjoy it. All right. The tight end market yesterday in the NFL was pretty much reset. And that's going to suck for the Philadelphia Eagles, but that's okay. So George Kittle of the San Francisco 49ers, as I had mentioned yesterday, there was a rumor that he was signing this massive mega deal. And he came out and said, "No, you guys believe everything you read." Well, yesterday, it was confirmed that he is indeed signing a contract extension, not quite as big, not quite as long as was previously reported. 5 years, $75 million. is what George Kittle has agreed to. Shortly thereafter, Travis Kelce with the Kansas City Chiefs also agreed to a extension. Pretty good deal as well. I don't know how the Chiefs are keeping under the salary cap right now. Coming into this season, it was reported they had $172 in salary cap left. And somehow they have managed to re-sign Patrick Mahomes. They've re-signed Chris Jones. And now they've extended Travis Kelce. All for crazy big deals. For the foreseeable future. The Chiefs, they've got the majority of their talent retained for years and years. They are going to be good for the next 3 or 4. And they might win another Super Bowl. Maybe another 2. I don't know. But they are pulling it off pretty well. They've got some miracle workers working that cap right now. So, interesting stuff there with the Chiefs. Now, the 49ers, Kittle is, you know, Kittle's America's tight end. He is America's hero. He is a likable guy, hard-nosed, hard-working, blue-collar type, likes to block, excellent pass catcher, a very enjoyable player to watch on the field. And this is much, much, much deserved for him, and very happy for him. I think that's good. But now this creates an interesting problem for the Philadelphia Eagles, who have their tight end, who is arguably a top 5 tight end in the league. I think he is, Zach Ertz, that they have to get under contract as well. I don't think you want to go forward with Dallas Goedert as your tight end. He's a good tight end and everything. He's just better as a 2. And so I think they've got to figure that out. I'm not sure what they're going to do to figure it, but that would be a good thing to get under your belt, if possible. Not sure if the Eagles are working. I don't have any info regarding anything like that. It would be nice if they were. So, anyways. Basically, there was a conversation that was had last night on my Twitter feed. That's where a lot of this comes from, is Twitter. It's amazing how much shit you can start on Twitter so quickly. As I've noted on this show before, there was a while ago in an article I'd written in 2017, before I had gotten a job with anybody, I was trying to break into the industry. And there was an article that I wrote about mixing sports and politics and why they don't mix. And I was using the story of Cam Newton and how Jordan Rodriguez had turned his comments into these sexist remarks. And then they went back and started stalking her and found that she had sexist stuff on her Twitter feed and all this nonsense. Not sexist, racist. She was using the N-word. And so I quoted her using the N-word in a tweet. Didn't bleep it out, didn't do anything, and obviously didn't realize that was how improper that was. And if you look at a lot of my stuff back then, you would see that, you know, there were cuss words scattered throughout them in very strong language at times, you know, so I didn't censor anything at that point. Now you're not going to see my writing, in my writing at least, you're not going to really see anything. And if I'm going to quote somebody and they're using that word, it's bleeped out. But that was pointed out again last night, which I'm sure people are going to bring that up forever. And that's fine. That is what it is. I don't have access to get into that website anymore. I lost the passwords and everything. I don't even know how to get in there to erase that, but or fix that or change that. But basically, the story, you know, because they brought it up, was like, oh, you brought it up because you said the story is relevant. Yeah, the story was about how people used to use sports as an escape from politics. And now everything is political, so it gets dragged into there, and people don't enjoy it like they used to. And talked about how stupid it was. Because that's what happens, is when you mix the two, you start making things political, all for gain. People lose that joy. It loses that sort of relaxing effect, that break. Because a lot of politics, it riles people up. It gets people fired up and upset and pissed off and angry. You know, there's a lot of people that are passionate about politics and their political views. Especially since politics has become something that is, it just involves everyday life. And they use everyday life and things that we do as a means to say, well, this is wrong. You know, and they use it as something to engage you and get you involved emotionally. And that's not what politics was designed to do, at least not in this country. That's the issue that we have in sports, is that there are a lot of people in sports that don't seem to realize this. Now, look at the NBA. The NBA is by far the most political, the wokest sports league. Okay? The NBA, everybody kneels for the national anthem. The one guy that didn't kneel for it, and don't tell me that's not political. It is political. It's been made, it's been used political. It is by far, it is very political. It's a very political point. And it is a very controversial. You're either super for it or super against it. That's what that is. Whether it started that, I think it started that way, but whether it started that way or not, it has become that way. And by the logic of the alt-left, that is a no-go zone. You know, it's political now. Because whether it started that way or not, that's what it is now. It's political. So, the NBA cannot beat Fox News in ratings the same night that they're on. Tucker Carlson and Hannity destroyed NBA game ratings in all demographics across the board. On Tuesday night, the Tucker Carlson show and the Hannity show, both of those shows eclipsed 4 million viewers on average watching at the same time. On the NBA games could not eclipse a million on average at all times. Even in the younger age demographic, it was significantly bigger on Fox News. And that's the thing that they don't seem to understand, is that, because Mark Cuban gets into this with Clay Travis on Twitter. Mark Cuban will get into this. Cuban is very vocal about this. He's very passionate about this. He does own a team, and he thinks that he is obviously making a great investment, which at the time when he bought the team, it was an awesome investment. We'll see how it pays off at this point, especially with stadiums being shut down, tickets not being sold, so on and so forth. Now, he always points to, well, look at Tucker Carlson loses sponsorships. And the ads, the ad revenue for the NBA games are much higher. Much higher. People pay a whole lot more for ads in NBA games. Well, all this is true. But just because sponsors pulled their sponsorships off of Tucker Carlson for things that he says, does that make him bad? People pull sponsorships off people for all the time, for all sorts of different things, both sides of the spectrum. It just means that he may not be well-liked. There may be a lot of people that don't like a lot of the things that he has to say that pay the sponsorships. And the NBA, yeah, that by far was a very, very, very good spot. But you want to try to tell me the advertisers, you know, the people who pay for the advertisements, they're not going to sit here and try to negotiate the prices down because they're getting out 4-1 to Fox News? I mean, you can't tell me that that's not bad. And it's going to happen. It didn't used to be like this. It used to be that with sports, by far, live sports were great to have on television. Live sports were the rating makers. Young people tuned into them. But that's the thing, is the age demographics are showing that young people aren't tuning into the NBA as much as Fox News. And the NBA is the most political league out of them all. It is not even close. They are so far, by far, the most political league. That's what's crazy about this. That's what's crazy about all of this. So people can say what they want. They can say everything they want about it. People don't like to mix sports. They want it in politics. They want to get a break from it. That's why they're turning on sports half the time. You know, so until sports starts to realize that, sports like the NBA, the NFL, so on and so forth, they're going to continue to lose out on a lot of money and a lot of revenue that they could potentially be bringing in from people who just want a break. They want to escape. But it seems now the only way to really escape politics is to turn off your phone, go out into the woods, and sit down for a while. Bring a coloring book. Unfortunately, that's the way of the world. And with that, that's all the time we have on the John Vogel Show today. You guys have a great rest of the weekend. If anything big happens, we'll do a 0.5 episode. Don't know if anything will. We'll see. In the meantime, go check out my website if you haven't already, johnvogel.football or johnvogelfootball.com. Check it out. We got some stuff so you can get involved with the show. You can bring, submit your requests for content that you want to hear discussed or talked about or whatever. Social media is there as well, at John D.A. Vogel, pretty much across the board, Twitter, Parler, so on and so forth. Guys, God bless. Take it easy. God love you all. This is the John Vogel Show.